right then. 5 p.m. Friday, time for American at Radio. 90.3 WHPC. WHPC HD is the station. My lovely wife and co-host Heidi Morales behind the board while I do the talking. I'm Tom Ryan.
Big mouth over there.
That's indeed. Definitely the big mouth at this end. Hey, it's Friday. I'm in the mood to talk. But I can't believe that this
when
is...
when aren't you?
Right?
Uh-huh.
I can't believe that we're up to number part 19 already on this Pink Floyd history that we've been doing. Of course, on Fridays, we call the show How Music Changed, and we do go very deep onto our topics. But we're already up to part 19 on Pink Floyd. We did have about five or six shows that did not air chronologically or at all in this series because we already covered the albums that we were that would have happened chronologically on our Wednesday show. So we just dropped them on the website. So this is a good time for me to mention that if you think you missed something, please feel free to go to AmericanHitNetwork.com or just search for American Hit Radio on any search engine or whatever. You'll definitely find us right away. And it's all right there on the front page. It's really super easy to navigate. It's a pretty website, actually. And it's full of stuff. There's about, at least, I think, something like 550 different albums that we've covered on Wednesdays. And every single show that we've done in the How Music Changed series is there as well. Every one of them. So check it out. That would be at AmericanHitNetwork.com. So, being part 19, we are now up to the year 1994, which represents a return to form for Pink Floyd as a band. And the reason I say that is because Richard Wright has returned as an actual full-fledged member at this point. See, for the past couple of albums, he was like reduced to a paid employee because they didn't think that he was like doing enough to contribute. And it was Roger Waters who had set up that situation, and it remained that way up until this album. In fact, on today's show, Richard Wright even managed to release a pretty credible solo album as well, so we'll be discussing that. So this unity of the band, less Roger, of course, serves as an inspiration, and the album they released, called The Division Bell, to me proved to be some of their best work since The Wall. Now, a lot of the public thought so. Critics, not so much. It wasn't a well-received album by critics, to be honest. But be that as it may, Roger, on the other hand, kept rolling along, releasing yet another live album. Like just last week, we covered a live album of him doing his spectacle performance of The Wall, which, as I said, we covered that last week. And he even manages to compose an entire opera. Like, Roger is unstoppable. The rock crowd didn't seem to take note of that, but regardless, it was an incredible and, I think, an unpredictable feat that absolutely deserves serious consideration. So we're going to cover some of that as well. I mean, because by any account, ça ira is the French word for, you know, to take it easy or, you know, hey, that's all right, is an impressive formal work of art. By 1994, Pink Floyd, together or apart, were reaching goals that could never have been predicted. So we're going to get started with, we did play a track from The Division Bell last week. And the track that I played was quite deliberate because since Roger was playing a track about, The Wall, about the coming down of the wall of separating West and East Germany as a pretty, you know, intense moment, I figured it wasn't only, you know, just the right thing to do to play the song A Great Day for Freedom on last week's show from this album. But now we're going to, I got two more tracks that I want to play from The Division Bell. The first one up is a song called Take It Back. Now, if you listen to it, the first thing you're going to think of is that this is a song about a guy who is too intensely in love or obsessed with his mate. And things are going to almost certainly fall apart with the lyrics as the way that he sings them. I mean, he's obvious, there's a lot of passion, but there's talk about jealousy and about her beginning to like lose her affection. If you really listen to it, you'll understand that the song is about Mother Nature and about how Mother Nature can turn her back on us. As he says, nature can take back everything that she has given us. So in a sense, This is like an ecological manifesto that was written by David Gilmour, but also with the producer Bob Ezrin, Polly Sampson, his then girlfriend, soon to be wife, and another person named Nick Laird Clowes. So they all convened to write this song about our relationship with Mother Nature called Take It Back.
Thank you.
It's a beautiful song, and it has got a tremendous meaning to it, I think, once you basically realize that he's talking about how we are responsible for what we do to this planet, and Mother Nature can certainly fix the problem of human beings quite easily and very, very readily if we aren't careful. Thus, take it back. Now, the next song is incredible. When I first heard it, it kind of gave me goosebumps because I was very surprised by how intense it was. There's no doubt that Roger Waters leaving Pink Floyd had caused a gigantic rift. It wasn't like they were dealing with each other on good terms from that point up until now. Because more or less they weren't. It was Roger Waters who had removed Rick Wright from the band, and it was him who had made, you know, decisions for how they were going to do things, whether or not the rest of the band agreed with it or not, and ultimately why he said, you know what, I don't even need the band anymore. In a sense, I understand why he would do that, because he was becoming incredibly independent and he had his own ideas, and he felt as though if he was the main creator, why is he splitting it four ways? But that did leave the others to feel abandoned and basically pushed aside after a tremendous history that they had together as a unit. So the song, Lost for Words, is no doubt a song about David Gilmour talking to, or not directly to, but directly about Roger Waters. He is finally like putting it on the line and stating exactly what's happening between them, the war between them. And he says things like, I was spending my time in the doldrums. I felt persecuted and paralyzed. And then he even says, so I opened my door to my enemies, and which is Roger Waters. And it was so obvious that Roger Waters himself made a statement after the song was released saying, the future and world warfare do not rest on a reconciliation between David Gilmour and myself. Basically, in other words, who cares what he thinks? It's more or less part of it. Now, one of the lyrics that he says, which I think is rather, perhaps, I think it must be deliberate. He says, one of the lines in the third verse of the song is, when the right one walks out the door. Now, the right one, if you change the spelling to W-R-I-G-H-T, would obviously be a reference to Richard Wright walking out the door and leaving the band after Roger Waters essentially fired him. So all of this is a song about Roger Waters splintering the band. And he even drops an F word in the middle of it about him, when he basically, what he says is that he offers he offers himself pretty much as a sense of like saying, I give up. Let's not be enemies. Let's see if we can find a solution to make peace. He goes, but they tell me to please go. And you know what the word is, what he says there. He says, you know, you just can't win. So there you go. Now you know what that one's about. Here it is in its entirety, except, of course, we're going to edit out that four-letter word that pops up. It's called Lost for Words.
gold rooms. I was caught in a cauldron of hate. I felt persecuted and paralyzed. I thought that everything else would just wait. While you are wasting your time on your enemies, engulfed in a fever of spite, beyond your tunnel vision, reality fades like shadows into the night. To martyr yourself to caution is not gonna help at all, because there'll be no safety in numbers when the right one walks out of the door.
There it is. I mean, it's, well, after nearly 20 years of animosity, I guess it's about time that you're going to have to eventually come to terms with it and state where you stand. And that's David Gilmour making a very public statement that pretty much was transparent, I think, for those who were listening closely, if you're a fan of the band. But now we're going to move on we're going to touch off on a the Richard Wright solo album that came out in 1996, just a little bit. He only released two solo albums in his lifetime. The first was back in, I don't know how long ago it was, maybe about in the 70s. And then here in 1996, he released this album called Broken China. It's a concept album that he was... basically got the inspiration by, because he was dealing with, his wife was dealing with depression, and he figured that he could make an album about how she went through it to beat it. So it's a theme album in four parts. There are tracks that feature Sinead O'Connor on the album. Now she sings a couple of them. I figured the best thing that we could do, just to give you a taste, would be to play like the opening two tracks of the album to get a feeling for what rights work. This would be the last album that he would release as a solo artist until his death in 2008. The first album that he released, by the way, was called Wet Dream in 1978. We played a little bit of that about maybe 7 or 8 shows ago. So then here from the album Broken China, we'll play the opening track, Breaking Water, and we'll let that segue into track 2 on the album called Night of a Thousand Furry Toys.
Another world, it's a better world that we bring.
Well, there's no doubt that that's a member of Pink Floyd making that album, right? it's quite an interesting album. I think if you're a Pink Floyd fan, if you haven't checked it out, I think you'd be interested in it. I found that it held up pretty well. It's, as I said, it's called Broken China. And said it features Sinead O'Connor on a couple of tracks. And the rhythm section is excellent. That's Pino Palladino on bass guitar and Manu Katché on drums. Fabulous rhythm player, rhythm section there. We remind you, you listen to WHPC, WHPC HD in Garden City, New York. The show is How Music Changed on Fridays. And we are presently covering A History of Pink Floyd. This is part 19 in our series. If you're interested in going back to the beginning, parts 1 to 18 are all sitting there at the website waiting for you to check them out. So help yourself. Go to AmericanNetwork.com and help yourself. All right. This brings us now to yet another live album by Roger Waters. We just covered that last week, a live album, which was when he... Well, that was because The Wall was coming down, and he had decided that he was never going to do The Wall again live, but... He said he would do it if The Wall came down. And that happened. So right there on the grounds is where he did a live version of it and recorded it. And it was a rather exciting version of The Wall. But now it's just a couple of years later. And Roger was on a three-year tour that he called In the Flesh, taken, of course, by a song from The Wall. That was the name of the tour. And from that three-year tour, he... put together a double album of live tracks, a good number of them taken from his time when he was with Pink Floyd. Understandably, there's it opens with four songs from The Wall. There's a couple of tracks from the album Animals, a few tracks actually from Wish You Were Here, and a few tracks from Dark Side of the Moon, a good number of them. So I'm going to limit, I'm not going there because we've covered that in a lot of different ways already. So it would be redundant. But there are a lot of songs from Roger's solo work that I had skipped over that I didn't touch on, figuring that I could save it for when we get to this point. So now I can go back a little bit and talk about some of the albums that we have, songs that we'd skipped. One of them is actually a Pink Floyd song that we did not cover when we were covering The Final Cut. There was a song called Southampton Dock. It's relatively short. Roger performs it in the Flesh on side one, on a track, I should say, on the first CD. It's the only song on the first CD, though, that I'm going to be able to play if I don't want to be redundant, because all of the other songs are taken from albums that we've already covered. So I'll drop in this one song from that disc. It's called Southampton Dock from the Final Cut.
Disembarked in 45, and no one spoke and no one smiled. There were too many spaces in the line. And gathered at the cenotaph, they all agreed with hand on heart to sheathe the sacrificial knives. But now stands upon Southampton Dock with her handkerchief and her summer frock, clings to her wet body in the rain. In quiet desperation,
knuckles white upon the slippery reins,
she bravely waves the boys goodbye again. Ooh. Maggie, what have you done? Still the dark stain spreads between their shoulder blades. A mute reminder of the poppy fields of grain. When the fight
bottom of our hearts, we felt the final cut.
short song, but it's relevant in that it's from the final cut, and that's the final cut was the final cut for Roger. He had that was the last album where he was a member of Pink Floyd. He walked out of the band after releasing the final cut, and Southampton Dock is the song that provided the phrase for the title of the album. Now, on the second disc, he does go to a couple of tracks from his solo albums. There's a track off of the Pros and Cons of Hitchhiking that we didn't play when we covered that album. So I think this is a good time to drop it in. It's called 5:06 AM. Now, everything on that album was a time. The album was about 45 minutes long, and the stretch, every song basically conveys exactly 45 minutes of a man sleeping and dreaming. And that's what's a bit convoluted, because the dreams all blend together. But its other title is Every Stranger's Eyes, from the Pros and Cons of Hitchhiking.
In the China seas, in transit camps, under arc lamps and unloading lamps, and faces blurred by rubber stamps, I recognize. Thank you.
I'll tell you what, I was always a fan of Pink Floyd, but I never got deeply into it. I had all of the Pink Floyd albums, the hit albums, and even the ones that weren't necessarily hits, but I didn't go further than that very much. And I think that a lot of like my ideas of Roger Waters probably kept me away from like listening closely enough to his solo albums. And that was a big mistake, because doing this series now, I'm realizing just how much incredibly the work that he had done and the intelligence of what he puts into his work is absolutely unbelievable. You have to listen to these albums, though, about many, many times before you begin to let the ideas of the themes sink in, because they're really complex. In this instance, why I'm playing them is completely devoid of that, because that track, Every Stranger's Eyes, 5:06 a.m., was from The Pros and Cons of Hitchhiking. And now I'm going to move to the album Amused to Death, an album that I totally neglected and that I am now finding is perhaps one of the best albums that Roger Waters ever made. He even said so in his statement about this album when he released the live album. His quote was, "I've been involved in two absolutely classic albums, The Dark Side of the Moon and The Wall. But if you haven't gotten to Amused to Death, you haven't gotten the full set." So he's somehow linking this to that. Well, here is, from that album, Amused to Death, a live version of a song called Perfect Sense, Parts 1 and 2.
Thank you.
monkey sat on a pile of stone. And he stared at the broken bone in his hand. And the strains of a Viennese quartet rang out across the land. Looked up at the stars, and he thought to himself, memory is a stranger, history is for fools. And he cleaned his hands in a pool of holy writing, turned his back on the garden and set out for the nearest town.
Hold on, soldier.
When you add it all up, the tears and the marrow bone, there's an ounce of gold and an ounce of pain in each measure. And the Germans kill the Jews, and the Jews kill the Arabs, and the Arabs kill the hostages, and they send him back in search of the Garden of Eden.
Can't you see? It all makes perfect sense. Expressed in dollars and cents, pounds, shillings, and pence. Well, can't you see? It all makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
Okay, give me goosebumps now listening to this. Well, I got one more I want to play from this live album, from the same album as well, also from the album Amused to Death. This is called It's a Miracle. It is a miracle that we've gotten this far. I'll see you next week.
Miraculous, you call it, babe. You ain't seen nothing yet. They got Pepsi in the Andes. They got McDonald's in Tibet. Yosemite's been turned into a golf course for the Japs and the Dead Sea. Is alive with rap. Between the Tigris and Euphrates, there's a leisure center now. They got all kinds of sports, they got Bermuda shorts. They had sex in Pennsylvania, a Brazilian grew a tree, and a doctor in Manhattan saved a dying man for free.
It's a miracle. It's a miracle. It's a miracle. Another miracle.
By the grace of God Almighty and the pressures of the marketplace, the human race civilized itself. It's a miracle. Just repay
It's a miracle.